The demarcation that Karl Popper describes so well between the rulers and the people starts here some 10,000 years ago or so. The deal for those first rulers was not sweet, unless you count the sweetened soils their bodies made, with their premature deaths when their powers faded. And ever since, rule has sought a way to make rule both permanent and safe for themselves. Remember the poem of Plato's Uncle Critias? And there's an MP3 I posted to remind folks of that poem. It goes like this. Then came, it seems, that wise and cunning man, the first inventor of the fear of gods. He framed a tale, a most alluring doctrine, concealing truth by veils of lying lore. He told of the abode of awful gods, up in revolving vaults whence thunder roars and lightning's fearful flashes blind the eye. He thus encircled men by bonds of fear. Surrounding them by gods in fair abodes, he charmed them by his spells and daunted them, and lawlessness turned into law and order, unquote, from Plato's Uncle Critias. That poem resonates in clear tones through this moment, as we are finally throwing back the curtain of their lies and seeing the hidden rulers where they hide in the so-called economic forces they contrive and in the distortions they've imposed with force and manufactured scarcity on our lives. This changes everything, says one pundit, about the notion, I believe, that global warming forces a reevaluation of unrestricted capitalism, quote unquote. But all these terms pundits use are power given and driven, designed to keep us forever floundering in their sea of lies, as our good three from academe will tell us in a minute. Quote, together, these three facets of the ongoing structural transformation of the modern world system, and the three they're going to be explaining in a second, are the increasing subjection of the world's peoples to the interstate system, first one, the second one, the increasing subjection of national economies to the world economy, as represented by the massive centralization of wealth, i.e. the consumed, destroyed resources of the planet into fewer and fewer hands, accomplished by the formation of large transnational corporations. And last, thirdly, the increasing organization, formation of a world ruling class, i.e., one set of rulers, two faces. And as we read the words of Terence Hopkins, Emmanuel Wallerstein, and Giovanni Arrighi in a second, recall, these words were given to us 30 years ago, continuing with this paragraph. Together, these three facets of the ongoing structural transformation of the modern world system, all of which reveal to a greater or lesser extent the structural surround of the state power seized or occupied by anti-systemic movements in the course of the 20th century. Recall, he's talking about social and national movements that claimed the state, they thought, and found themselves claimed by the interstate system. They refer to this as the structural surround of the state powers seized or occupied by anti-systemic movements in the course of the 20th century, and indicate the degree and kind of reconstitution of terrain with which present and future movements of a like sort have to contend, interjection, i.e., what we have to contend with. Continuing. They indicate as well, though this is not a central concern of ours, the anachronism of the contents we give to the concepts with which we commonly work. The dilemmas of the anti-systemic movements are thus in some measure, the unintended product of a sort of false consciousness on the part not of toadies, nor even of hair splitters, but of the most engaged of the intelligentsia, unquote. That's a really important point. In a sense, all of our radio shows can be linked to that fact. We have been misrepresented and set back by the folks who, with intent or not, have ignored these words of our good three from academe. And because power embeds itself through the use of planted false folks or the money lever, and that lever that tugs on the deepest cords of our lives, which Bentham, we'll see in a second, calls seductive motives, because power embeds itself where thought grows or is influenced, we cannot know what part of the myopia on the part of these so-called academic representatives is not our good three, but the larger category, punditry. We can't know what part of the myopia is homegrown and what part power-sown.